to consider your place in this community that we have together. We know that a healthy community is one in which everyone is actively committed to. And intuitively, we understand how this is the case. And so I want us to consider our place this morning in this community and how active and how committed to its betterment and to its furtherment we are. And to do this, I'd like us to draw a parallel with the Apostle Peter and think about his situation and then compare us to him. Because, well, Peter is a brother that we're all quite familiar with. And in the reading that was done this morning in 2 Peter chapter 1, if you just turn there with me, in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter understood quite clearly, we hear, that he was going to die. In fact, in a moment, we'll show you that I think that he actually knew that he was going to be crucified. And so here in verse 12, Peter says, "Therefore I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, that you will be able to call these things to mind." So here we see the Apostle Peter coming to realization that his departure from this life was imminent. And if your Bible has any references beside it, we can see also it says, as the Lord Jesus Christ has made clear, we can see the references to what Peter was referring to. So let's just turn ourselves back to John chapter 13 for a moment. I'm really trying to set the stage for where Peter was right now in his spiritual life. John chapter 13 is the account here where we're coming in is Jesus had just finished the Last Supper with his disciples. Judas had just left, and in verse 33 we have Jesus beginning a conversation, saying, "Little children, I am with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, now I say also to you, where I am going, you cannot come." And so where was Jesus going at this point? Jesus was going to the cross. And so if we say, "Where I am going to the cross, you cannot come." And then he goes on, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also have loved one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." And then we have Simon Peter saying to him in verse 36, "Lord, where are you going?" And again, Jesus says, "Where I go, you cannot follow me now, Peter, but you will follow me later." And Peter says, "Lord, why can't I follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you." And Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me, Peter? Truly, truly, I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me three times." So if we keep our fingers there for a moment and then turn over to John chapter 21, after Jesus had gone to where he was going to the cross, he had now been resurrected and he had made himself visible to his apostles, and here we have this scene in John 21 where Jesus was having a meal, and we find ourselves in verse 18. So we remember again this conversation previously near the end, where Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" We remember that account where he did that three times, and we'll come back to that in a minute. But down in verse 18, we find Jesus saying to Peter, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." And that the visual that I get when we see the stretching out of the hands is that of a crucifixion. And it says in verse 19 that Jesus said this, signifying by what kind of death Peter would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me. Follow me to the cross," as if he's saying. And so Peter turned around and he saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who leaned back on his bosom at the supper and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" And Peter says to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? No, Peter, you follow me." So I think we can see by the combination of those passages, whether it's crucifixion or not, it was made known to Peter that the day would come when he was older that he would die in a death that was not likely to be very pleasant. And so now I want us, with that, to just consider ourselves in a similar situation, imagining that we were told that we were going to die, and that we were likely to be crucified, and that we'd actually seen what crucifixion looked like, and the awful torture and pain that was involved. And we would ask ourselves, would we turn away from the Lord? Like Peter saying, "We'll never deny thee." And in that very night, he denies the Lord. If you knew that you were going to be put into prison, where Peter was in prison when he was writing those letters in 1st and 2nd Peter, if you were to be put in prison beforehand, would you think that you would try to avoid contact with the authorities, try to play a lower profile so that you wouldn't be caught? And then how would you spend your time in prison? Think about what you'd probably spend most of your time thinking about and doing. What would it be? Would they be about you and about your current state of and potentially future state of suffering? That suffering that you'd be facing shortly? Would your thoughts be on how you might use the tools available to you at your disposal to try and get yourself released? Likely we'd be spending time in prayer, seeking for God's strength and support in this time of need. And I don't know, the question that we ask is if we can truly put ourselves in that situation, but would you be actively encouraging the brothers and sisters within your community and in this ecclesia as Peter was doing? Because that's exactly what he did, didn't he? And how strong must Peter's faith have been at this point in his life, and his connection with the community that he belonged to? And yet we know, as we just read earlier, that Peter's faith wasn't always that strong. So in fact, Peter had come a long way since he first denied his Lord. So we just read in John 13 that where Peter firmly tells his Lord, "I will never leave you. I will die for you." In fact, it goes even further in the same account in Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14 and 27. Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, because it is written, 'I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered.'" In verse 28, "But after I've been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." And then Peter says to him, "Even though all may fall away, yet I will not." And Jesus said to him, "Truly, I say to you that this very night, before a rooster crows twice, you yourself will deny me three times." And Peter kept saying insistently, "Even if I have to die with you, Lord, I will not deny you." And they were all saying the same thing also. And just bringing that section to a conclusion, I want us to turn to Luke chapter 22, which tells us that account of Peter, in fact, denying his Lord, which he had so vehemently suggested that he would never do. And in Luke 22, in verse 60, jumping in near the end, at the end of his denials, Peter said to the man, "Man, I do not know what you're talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. And we can just imagine the piercing look, or how Peter would have interpreted the look when he saw it and called to remember in verse 61, when the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the words of his Lord, how he had told him, "Before a rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And it tells us in verse 62 that he went out and wept bitterly. And I wonder, have any of you ever wept bitterly for your denials of your Lord? Now that word deny in the Greek simply means to affirm that one has no acquaintance or connection with someone. It's similar to me to that bearing a false witness, the phrase "bear false witness." When imagining when how many times we may be in conversations, and some part of the conversation might be about where the world is headed, and we choose to bear false witness and to remain quiet and not to express our understanding of what God has so graphically laid out for us in terms of answering these questions. We remain silent. We deny our Lord. And yet when we consider these things, we ask ourselves how emotionally attached to these things we are, as Peter was, when we realize them and he wept bitterly. So turn with me to John 21. Reflecting back on this section that we looked at earlier, where Peter was told that he was going to die in verses 18 and 19, but just before that, up in verse 15, the section that we talked about, we remember where Jesus says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, I know. You know that I love you." And we have this interesting, the three times that Jesus asked, but the three times after Peter acknowledged them, the first time he says, "Tend my lambs." And then he says it again to Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And then he says, "Well, shepherd my sheep." And then the third time, he says it again. And Peter was grieved, it says in verse 17. He was grieved because he said to him the third time. And then Jesus says, in answer to Peter's acknowledgement that he does, he then says, "Tend my sheep." So we have Jesus here suggesting to Peter to follow me, to take the path, Peter, that I have taken. Live your life, Peter, the way that I have asked you to. Tend my lambs. Shepherd my sheep. Tend my sheep. Be a shepherd, Peter. Treat your brothers and sisters as your flock. It's almost as if we read a progression here in Peter's capability. Involving ourselves in the ecclesia of God, it doesn't happen overnight. And it doesn't come with simple words alone saying, "I will never deny you," as Peter acknowledged to his Lord. It starts by doing, by acting, and by caring. And it's as if Jesus, knowing that becoming a true disciple is a progression, that he starts with asking Peter to simply tend the lambs. the lambs, the most obvious and easy ones in and around the ecclesia to care for and to nurture. Their needs are known, and they often quite willingly receive any help and direction offered to them. But then our Lord says to Peter, "Shepherd my sheep." Build upon what you've been doing in tending to his lambs. And take responsibility, Peter, for the entire herd. See yourself not merely as one of a flock, one that needs to be guided, but at times you do the guiding. You do the shepherding, Peter. And in 2 Peter, we find that in that reading in 2 Peter, that Peter could not physically be with his ecclesia or the brethren and sisters. He could not physically be there because he was in prison. But he could still do something. He could tend to the sheep. So in his absence, his own physical circumstances, they still did not override his concern for the sheep. Just because he wasn't there with them, they didn't override his concern for them. And so in 2 Peter chapter 1, if we can just go to that reading that we did this morning, we find Peter laying out for us and for the brothers and sisters a progression as well. Second Peter 1 verse 4. "For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." It's so important, brothers and sisters, that we see ourselves as inextricably linked one with another, and that we take a personal responsibility for the welfare of every single one of our brothers and sisters. It was Margaret Thatcher, when asked about the deterioration of the nation's moral standards, that her famous words in response were, "There is no such thing as society. There are individual men and women, and there are families." And her point was really at the time that people started expecting government and other large organizations to care for the tending and the feeding of those in difficult circumstances. And this rings true even today in our observations. It's the new societal norm. That when we see problems or difficulties around us, it's our inclination to see it as part of something that society or community should be taking care of and expecting others to do, not necessarily ourselves, to address the problems around us that we see. Everything has been built around us that we've grown to be self-assertive and avoiding personal responsibility or feelings of obligations towards our fellow man. But we can't be that way in the truth, brothers and sisters. This is a family that is here today. And many passages we know speak to us about a family. But how strongly do you see yourself as an active, as an alert, contributing member of this family, as Peter did? And he asks the ecclesias that he wrote to do the same, to feed, to tend, and to shepherd the flock. I have this picture of us all again in the same boat. And each and every one of us has a paddle. And our paddles may be different sizes, different shapes. But the point is, brothers and sisters, that if we're sitting in a boat together with a paddle, we all have one, we've all been given a paddle or a talent of some kind, the point is not to be sitting there holding on to it. It's to be putting the paddle into the ocean, into the water, and actually using what God has given to us. And so, as the Lord passed along to Peter, his expression of tend my lambs, shepherd my sheep, and tend my sheep, I'd like us to consider, again, individually, where each of us might be on that progression as our membership in this community which we belong to. Are we tending to the lambs? How many of our young people and children can you say that you know personally? Do you know their names? And have you invested any time with them in the past 6 months? Well, they're our family, and they need to feel a place in this community. They need tending, not just by parents, but by aunts and by uncles. How strongly are you attached to the ecclesial family? Again, looking around in this room, what percentage have you visited or had a meaningful conversation with in the past 6 months? Again, scripturally, we know that we are this part of this family, this inextricably woven family that we are meant to be, united in faith and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. What percentage are we sharing our life with? What percentage do we think it should be? My guess would be that if we're honest with ourselves about the amount of interaction that we should be having with our spiritual family, that most of us are falling short. Yet we're all sheep. We're all prone to going astray. We all have paddles, not to hold on to, not to try and take in a different direction from the rest of this community, but to use in shepherding the sheep. What do the following have in common? Lynette Alderson, Larry Catchpole, Debbie Catchpole, Helen Bird, Roberta Cadieu, Jennifer Cupar, John Evans, Lois Girardo, Eileen Henthorne, Rob Wallace, Linda Wallace, Pat Willimont, Mac and Sylvia McPherson, Marjorie McIver, Ruby Martin, Floyd Mathers, Janice Morrison, Trish Myron, Alan Ormrod, Sherry and Drew Ralph, Mark and Sherry Snoblin, Clyde Nevlin Snoblin, Pat Williamson, Jeff and Cindy Higgs, Rebecca Higgs. It wasn't a complete list, was it, brothers and sisters? But the one thing that they have in common this morning is that they're not with us. They're not part of this community today. And we know the reasons for many, but can we say we know the reasons for most? They're part of our ecclesial family as well. Now, I think for a very high number of people on that list, if you're anything like me, you have no specific knowledge about their current circumstances, their struggles, or their spiritual state of mind. In this regard, what is the role that our Lord and Peter are calling us to? What is our obligation to our family to tend to the sheep? So as we consider the emblems before us this morning, These are some of the things that we should really consider. So we take of the loaf, the one body, which we are to reflect, knowing that the head of this body is our Lord Jesus Christ. His life was poured out and given for others, much like Peter's eventually was. Like Peter, we too are on a spiritual continuum, a journey, one that is meant to be a progression towards actively participating in ecclesial issues and building ecclesial community. So this morning we want us to consider where we are in that progression and where we want to be. And as we do this, and as we look around at the many familiar faces in this room, can we truly say to ourselves, I am shepherding this flock to the best of my ability? Am I tending it? Or am I feeding it in any way? If not, why not? Because we know, brothers and sisters, that one day the chief shepherd will appear. And if we have actively participated with our brothers and our sisters in supporting and feeding and nurturing and caring for each one, then it reminds us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, that we will receive that unfading crown of glory. So we'll conclude with the questions. What is your place in this community? And how are you contributing to making it healthier?
Thank you, Mike. Before we take